glad to be here on Father's Day, and I'm just here celebrating all the dads. Hey, you know, now that I've been in ministry for quite a long time, I've had a lot of titles. You know, they've called me pastor and evangelist and bishop, and some people have called me a few other names that I probably won't tell you. Come on. But they've called me apostle. I've even had people introduce me as doctor. And I have to get up and say, man, I ain't even an Aryan. Come on, somebody. But of all the titles that I have carried, the most precious one by far is dad. You know, I figured if I couldn't be good at everything, I could do my best to be a good dad. And I love that better than anything. And I think, in fact, I'm positive that we got some great dads in the room. So why don't we just lift up a shout for all the great dads here and online? Man, we celebrate you. So here we go. I'm looking at 1 Chronicles 25. I'm not going to preach very long. Look at your neighbor and say, sure. Hallelujah. No, just for a few minutes. It says here that David and the army commanders then appointed men, watch this, from the families of Asaph. Somebody say Asaph. He-Man. You remember that cartoon from years ago, He-Man? Come on. And Jeduthun to proclaim God's messages to the accompaniment of the lyres, the harps, and the cymbals. Here's a list of their names and their works. From the sons of Asaph, there was Zakur, Joseph, and all his brothers. Come on. They worked under the direction of their father, Asaph, who proclaimed God's messages by the king's orders. From the sons of Jeduthun, there was all these sons that he had, six in all. I'm going to let you figure out the names. Come on. They worked under the direction of their father, Jeduthun, who proclaimed God's message to the accompaniment of the lyre, the offering, thanks, and the praise to the Lord. From the sons of He-Man, come on, there was all his sons, every one of them. All these men were under the direction of their fathers. They were under the direction of their fathers as they made music at the house of the Lord. Their responsibilities included the playing of the cymbals, the harps, and the lyres, and the cooking of the chicken wings. No, it doesn't say that. At the house of God, watch this. Asaph, Jeduthun, and Heman, don't miss this part, this is important, reported directly to the king. All right, Luke 2:49, Jesus said, I must be about my father's business. I want to talk today about the father's business. I want to tell you, sir, that your most important business is not the job that you have. It's not the business that you own. The most important business that you have is the family that you love and the family that you lead. So I feel like I've got a download from heaven. Anybody ready? Shout out, I'm ready. Come on. Man, I just love you guys so much. Y'all are the best. Slip up your hands. Father, today is your day. We're here celebrating earthly fathers, but it would be remiss not to say how much we appreciate our heavenly father. God, would you help me help somebody today? Would you help me be led by you? And would you help me be used by you? I love you today. We thank you for your goodness. Somebody give the Lord the praise and ovation of the day. Amen. Before you sit down, just tell everybody around you, it's the Father's business that matters. It's the Father's business. I want to tell all the hardworking men, thank you. For the men that, come on, know how to bring home the bacon. And if they need to, they can fry it up in the pan. We want to tell you, men, we appreciate you. But men, I want to tell you today, and I don't want to belabor it, but the most important work you do is not the job that you have. It's not the 40 hours that you work or the business that you own or run. The most important business a family man has is not his job, but it's loving your wife and raising your children. That's the most internal investment you can make. And I want to dive into this word today. Don and I read a chronological Bible together, and most every day we take communion together and we spend time with the Lord and we do it together. And we were reading in the book of Chronicles, and if you know about Chronicles, sometimes it can get long and intense. It's a lot of information at times and documentation of timelines. And as we were reading it, I was so amazed as God dropped maybe the most powerful revelation he's ever given me in all these years that I've been preaching as it relates to Father's Day. The text that I read today describes three fathers who have been given a special assignment by the king. And I want you to know today that if you're a father, one of the reasons that we celebrate you is because God has given you a special assignment. Raising your family is a special assignment. And I love this because these fiery fathers, these three, had the job of proclaiming God's messages and acted as lead worshipers before the Lord. And these men didn't just honor and praise God by themselves, but they led their families. They trained their children. And don't miss perhaps the most important part of this chapter. It says, Asaph, Jeduthun, and Heman answered and reported directly to the king. They didn't answer to their friends. They didn't answer to their companions. They didn't report to their families. These fathers reported directly to the king. And this is why godly fathers have to maintain love and expectations in our day, protection, standards. Because I want you to understand, dads, that when it's all said and done, we don't report to the culture. We don't report to the boss. We don't report to our mother-in-law. We don't report to the president. Come on, somebody. We don't report to a political party. We don't report to family members. As God's representatives in our home, we report directly to the king. That means sometimes we have to go against the grain. Sometimes we have to say no. Because we don't report to the culture, we report to the king. Godly fathers answer directly to the king. If you report to King Jesus and you know he's the one, make a little noise and give him praise right now. That's why everything doesn't go at my house. That's why there's some compromises I cannot make, because I report directly to the king. Now, I love these three men, and I love how they lived their lives and how they made a deposit in the next generation. And I want to just look behind the text, because I was amazed at how God began to speak to me about these three men. The first one I want to talk to you about is Asaph. I want to call him Asaph the Assembler. In fact, if you define the name Asaph, his name literally means assembler. And what I love about Asaph is he started with his own family. This assembler brought his family together and assembled them in the house of the Lord. He made a deposit in them and built their lives around the presence of the Lord. In other words, God's presence and raising his kids to know Jehovah was the great priority in his life. And I want to tell you, dads, it's important to teach your kids manners. I better say that again. I said it's important to teach your kids manners. I'm going to press you a little bit hard. Your kids ought to know how to say yes, ma'am. I'm too Southern. No, ma'am. Yes, sir. No, sir. They need to respect their teachers. Oh, I got some educators in the house wanting to say amen. You need to respect your teachers. You need to respect folks that are older than you. You need to respect law enforcement. Come on, dads. You need to teach them to respect their mama. They start going crazy. You say, hey, boy, don't make me slap you so hard. When you wake up, your clothes will be in style. Come on, somebody. You need to teach your kids how to respect. It's important, because if you don't teach them respect, I'm going to tell you, teach that little crumb snatcher respect right now, or law enforcement will have to do it later. And everybody still loves me, say amen. Because as godly fathers, we have to teach them respect. We have to teach them ethics. It's important to teach them to respect. If they're men, or young men, they need to respect women. I'm going to say it one more time. We need to teach our young men. Women are not bees, and they're not. Y'all know what bees and hoes. Come on, somebody. And you don't need to have a son that talks about a woman like that. We need to teach our men that our women are wonderful. Hallelujah. They are beautiful. They are handmaidens of the Lord. And they are fine. Come on, somebody. My wife is fine, y'all. She sure is. Don't be nodding your head. You know you look good. She was so glad to see me yesterday when I walked in. Let me tell you, I was glad she was glad to see me too. We needed to teach our daughters to value themselves. We need to teach, come on, somebody. We need to teach our daughters that they are more than just a sex object. We need to teach, I'm saying too much. We need to teach our daughters to regard their bodies. We need to teach our daughters that they are somebody. We need to assemble our children and pour goodness into them and love into them. I know I'm pushing you a little bit. We need to teach them not to fuss and cuss. Act crazy. And make sure if they act that way, they didn't learn it from you. Ooh, it's quiet in here. It's great to teach them how to play baseball, basketball. You know, I would have been a professional basketball player. Y'all don't even know that about me. The only thing that stopped me was I couldn't dribble, I couldn't run, and I couldn't jump, and I could hardly shoot. But I'm telling you, if I could have done that, I would have. I'd be in the finals. Come on, somebody. And it's good to teach your kids to play baseball. And I see so many parents involved in travel ball right now. But I want to tell you something about baseball. Baseball is a game, but life is real. And when life gets hard, your kids don't need a coach. They need a savior. Asaph was famous for writing some of the most famous psalms in the Bible. And I'm paraphrasing Psalm 72. And I'm trying to encapsulate it all in one little paraphrase verse, but he wrote this. He said, we will not hide the mighty works of God from the next generation. We will tell them what we have heard and what we have known. This man, Asaph, was an assembler and a trainer of the next generation, in particular his own children. And he said, we're going to tell the next generation what we've heard. We heard that he brought miracles in the desert. We heard that he parted the Red Sea. We heard that manna fell from heaven and water came from a rock. We heard that he gave us victory and the walls fell down flat in Jericho. We heard that he gave us power over our enemies. We heard all these things. And you need to tell your children what you've heard. I heard that there was a Savior. I heard his name was Jesus. I heard that he died on the cross. I heard that they buried him in a borrowed tomb. I heard that he raised on the third day. I heard that he's seated at the right hand of the Father. I heard that he's coming back again in the air. How many of you have got a message that you could tell your children? I heard. He said, we will tell the next generation, watch this, what we have heard, but also what we've known. In other words, precious, he said, we're not only going to relate the stories that we've heard of the greatness of God, but we're going to tell our next generation and our children what we have known ourselves. See, one of the things the enemy doesn't want you to know is that there is power in your story. It's one thing to tell what you've heard. It's another thing to tell what you've known. It's one thing to tell what you've heard, but it's another thing to tell what you lived. There is power in your story, Dad. Share and talk about God's goodness and faithfulness in your life. I wonder if there's anybody here today. If you had a chance and you could take this microphone, you could spend a long time talking about the God that's been a way maker and the things that he has done in your life. If you have known his goodness, if you have experienced his provision, if you've been healed once, if you've been delivered once, if you've been provided for once, if you've got a story to tell, you can't have the microphone, but you can certainly lift up a praise. If he's been good to you. Oh, come on, y'all. Sometimes you need to bring him a "this is what I've known" praise. Sometimes you need to bring him, "my God, I gotta thank you that when I couldn't do it, you did. And when I couldn't move it, you did. And when I couldn't heal it, you did. And when I couldn't change it, you did. And when I couldn't transform it, you did." I dare somebody right now, all the way up in the balcony, if he's been good to you, "this is a what I've known" praise. One of the most important things you can do is reflect God's goodness in your life and tell your children. Now, praise God, assemble your children together and rehearse God's goodness. I think about my life. There are so many stories, and I don't want to take long, but it's been passed down to me. I am five generations preacher. The enemy thought I wasn't going to be one, but hey, baby, here I am. He thought he had me, but God's been good. And I can go all the way back to the late 1800s when my grandfather, who died in 1968 in the pulpit preaching the gospel, my dad pastored his first church when he was 17 years old, y'all. That's the lineage that I have. But my grandfather, my dad's dad, went into a tent of my great-grandfather, who was having a tent meeting in a city in the South. And he went in, he was drunk, and was going to ride his horse into the tent and shoot up the building. And when he got to outside the tent, he sobered up supernaturally and heard the gospel, walked into my great-granddaddy's tent, got saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, married the tent preacher's daughter, who is my grandmother, and here I am today telling the story that God is a way maker from generation to generation. Is there anybody here that can say in the mighty name of Jesus, "it ain't stopping with me, but it's going to my children"? Open up your mouth and holler one good time. Come on. There's something powerful, precious, about passing stories of God's faithfulness from one generation to the next. But Asaph is a powerful name. And there are layers to the meaning of this name. Asaph, the assembler's name, also means to reassemble, to repair, and to fix what's broken. And sometimes our children lose their way. Oh, come on now. Sometimes they have broken seasons, and we don't reject our children even when they're broken. Okay, I got 12 people saying amen. I don't know about you, but I've had broken times in my life. I lost my way, but God was faithful to me. I know there are times when you have to be careful that you don't enable bad behavior, but your ultimate goal as a father is to do your very best to fix your children when they are broken. It's the mentality that says they might be a mess, but they're still mine. How many of you know that sometimes our children lose their way, but even if they're a mess, they're still mine? Okay, let me get real. You can sit out there and be all kind of cute if you want to, but you ain't always made the right decisions. You haven't always been where you needed to be, and there were some people who loved you in spite of yourself. There have been people in your life that stayed with you when you did not even deserve it. There are some people that stayed with you when you didn't deserve it, when you wasn't fit to live and you were scared to die. But God put people in your life that stuck with you. And I'm telling you, I have made up in my mind that if my children are broken, they can count on me to reassemble their lives. I'm not just an assembler, I'm a reassembler. I'll help you put your world back together again if you are mine. If there's anybody in the house that's willing to be an assembler and a reassembler, open up your mouth and give God a praise like you believe it. We reassemble our children even when they don't want it. We just keep trying. I look at my life and God has been so good to me. And it's that mentality, precious, as I said, that declares that even if they're a mess, they're mine. Now, if your family is broken, can I say this? They don't need a divorce attorney. They need an ASAP. So if you want to be an assembler and a reassembler, man or woman, open up your mouth and give God a mighty praise right now. God, use me. Come on. If you're thankful for people who were deposited in your life that help you put your world back together, and you're willing to be an ASAP, open up your mouth and give God a praise right now. Okay, you have ASAP the assembler. Then I want to tell you about He-Man. In the 80s, there was a cartoon called He-Man. And in the 80s, Dawn Rayleigh married a He-Man. Come on, somebody. Just kidding. He-Man, I want to call him He-Man the Faithful. His name literally means faithful. And the name He-Man points to the faithfulness of a good father. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 4:2, moreover, it is required of a man that he be found faithful. It's so important, sir, for dads to be faithful to their families. I want my children to find me faithful. Faithful to the Lord. Faithful to His house. Faithful in my marriage. And I am a living witness. Don't underestimate the power of faithfulness. There have been times in my life that I didn't have everything figured out. Yeah, there's been times in my life when I moved forward. There have been times in my life when I walked by faith and I wasn't really that smart and I didn't have it all figured out, but I just kept showing up. Some of y'all say, well, Apostle, you know, you tell the story about starting in the gym. You tell the story about holes in the roof. You tell the story about 27 years ago, what it was like when you came here. And now we see this great facility. We see buildings all over Florida. We see campuses launching across the nation. Apostle, what is the secret? I'm telling you, sometimes I didn't know what to do. I didn't have every I dotted and every T crossed, but I just showed up. I just kept believing that whatever God told me, it will come to pass. I've come to tell you, Dad, don't you let the enemy smother out your purpose. Don't let the devil convince you that because you don't know everything from the very end to the beginning, that you need to give up. The devil is a liar. Just show up and watch what God will do. Some of the most successful people in this room would tell you that the key to their success has been just showing up. Truth is, y'all, I've seen God move in my life in a lot of ways because I just kept showing up. If you're just going, if you don't know exactly what to do, if you're going to show up, make a little bit of noise right now. But if you trace that name also means to be reliable. It means to be one that you can count on. Years ago, one of my daughters paid me, I think, the highest compliment. There was some young man that was interested in him, and they said, well, we just got to make sure. We got to have somebody that we can depend on that's reliable, like Dad. I'm telling you, my head swole so big. When she said that, I thought, man, of any compliment that they could give me, of anything they could say about me, I hope that one day, hallelujah, if Jesus tarries, now I plan on living a long time, but if Jesus tarries, and I kind of think he's coming soon, make a little noise if you believe he's coming soon, amen. I got about 12 people. I said, make a little noise if you believe he's coming soon. I believe in the coming of the Lord. But I'm going to tell you the greatest compliment your children can pay you is that you were reliable, is that you were faithful, is that you went to work, is that you showed up, is that you took them to church. I dare somebody right now. Give every faithful and reliable dad a great big God bless you. Come on. I need somebody to be reliable and find my glasses. I set them somewhere. Look what the Lord has done. Hallelujah. So be reliable and be faithful. But if you trace that name, this is where it gets so beautiful. If you trace the name Heman, it also means to step up for others. But the real crux of that name, it means to become not just a father, but a foster father. In other words, it means that you'll step up and become a father for those who don't even have a father. That you'll support, that you'll get behind. See, here's the deal. I have made up in my mind that I want to be a father to those that need fathering. And if you get around me, if you really know me, if you get around me, I'm going to daddy you. I'm going to brag on you. I'm going to tell you how pretty you look. You look so pretty today. You pretty. I'm so proud of you. Listen, sometimes the best thing you can do for somebody is just father them. And you don't stop fathering just your family. I'm believing that at Calvary, there's going to be some fathers who will just father people everywhere that they go. Somebody give God praise for the good fathers in the room. It is God's will for generations to be blessed because of your faithfulness. But then the very last name person that I want to talk about is Jeduthun. And Jeduthun's name means this. Jeduthun, the present tense praiser. It literally means praising. It's the name that means I will praise God in the present tense. Not I'm going to praise God, not I have praised God, but it means I'm praising God in the present tense. It speaks of praising God right in the middle of where you are right now. It speaks of praising God when it's good and praising God when it's bad. It speaks of praising God when you got money, and it speaks of praising God when you're broke. It speaks of praising God when you're weak and praising God when you're strong. Listen, anybody can praise God when you got money in your pocket. Anybody can praise God when everything is going perfectly. Anybody can praise God when your children are behaving splendidly. But when all hell is breaking loose, when you don't have money, when you don't have resources, and you don't even know where to turn, but something inside of you says, I'm going to praise God beyond what I feel. I'm going to praise God beyond what I see. I'm going to bring him a present tense praise. I dare somebody right now to be the Jeduthun on your road and bring him a present tense praise. Sometimes you gotta praise him when you don't have the money. Sometimes you gotta praise him when you ain't got it figured out. And when you can praise him like that, then you got a hold of somebody that's got a hold of you. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, Paul said this. He said, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God concerning you. Not in a few things, not in most things, but in everything. How can you do that? Because Romans 8:28 says, for we know that all things work together for the good to those who love the Lord. I'm just looking for a few people that love the Lord. Y'all, don't make me come down there. Is there anybody in here that loves the Lord? All things work together for the good to those who love the Lord and who are called according to his purpose. Now, the words work together in the Greek, it means made to cooperate. God said, I am so big that I'll make everything that you've been through, every high time, every low time, every time you hit it, every time you missed it, every time you did right, every time you did wrong, and none of it surprises me. I am so God that I will work it in the recipe of your life, and I will make it all work together for the good to those who love the Lord. That's why, even if it ain't going right now, you ought to go ahead and praise God that he's not through, that he's working it all together. Let me stop right here. How many of you can look back on, I'm about to preach. How many of you can look back on your life and say, Apostle, I remember a time in my life when I thought it was over, but now I look back and I see that God worked it all out for my good. So if he did it then, I'm going to praise him now because it's all going to come together. Come on now. In everything, give him thanks. Y'all, what is a trip about this is that this man, Jeduthun, he was the choir director. Come on now. He directed the whole house and his family in praise. He wasn't just a praiser. He was the lead praiser. He was the one who established praise. People ask me, say, Apostle, who's the praise and worship leader at Calvary? Me. Y'all ain't saying nothing. I've been here 26 years and John's been here 10. How many of y'all love Pastor John and Pastor Courtney, and they do a great job? I love them so much. But let me tell you, I was praising before they even got on the stage. I was praising God in the gym. I was praising God in the little building. I was praising God on the roof during COVID. Y'all ain't saying nothing to me. I was praising God because I'm the lead praiser in this house. You see, here's what I know. You might come to watch me preach, but God shows up to watch me praise. I dare somebody who wants to be the lead praiser in your house, open up your mouth and just praise him one time. I was looking at my daughters today. What's up, Cheno? What's up, Court? That's my two girls. Then I got paid in the sound booth. I was looking at my girls on the stage, and they were praising the Lord. They were giving God glory. They were dancing all over the place. And they did it because God was worthy. But let me tell you, they got a deposit that came from their old dad and their mom. We put something inside of them that said, when the music starts, you don't stand there like a bump on a log, but you move your feet and you begin to praise the Lord, and you praise him until he shows up. I need a daddy right now that's ready to be the lead praiser in your house. Open up your mouth and give. No, let me just one time. I want to hear from every male in the room, every dad that is a dad or a potential dad. If you don't mind being a lead praiser, Let me hear from the brothers. 1, 2, 3. Praise him right now. My God, something happens when men begin to praise the Lord. One more time. 1, 2, 3. Come on, brothers, and praise him. Hallelujah. I want my children to praise the Lord because they saw me praise God. I'm the lead praiser. Listen, I'm not the best singer, but I'm going to be the lead praiser. Hallelujah. Now, the Bible said, like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children in the hands of one's youth. God's given you these arrows, and I want you to understand something. The name Jeduthun has as its origin the Hebrew word yada. And yada is one of the seven Hebrew words for praise. It implies to throw a praise. It means to shoot a praise like an arrow. And the Bible said, like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children in the hands of one's youth. And as I was reading that and studying that, I said, Lord, I want to shoot my children forth like an arrow. And I would say to you, don't just shoot a person from your house, shoot a praiser from your house. Don't just shoot an arrow from your house. Shoot children from your house that know how to press into God because they watched you press into God. But then if you look at the word yada, yada also is linked to the word axle. An axle means to turn. It takes an axle to turn a car. It's the axle on a car that turns things. And the Lord said, people don't even know it, but their praise will turn their situation around, y'all. That when they bring me a yada, I'll turn their defeat into victory. I'll turn their mourning into dancing. I'll turn their poverty into prosperity. I'll turn their sickness into healing. I'll turn their struggle into breakthrough. I'll turn their valley into a high place. If they'll praise me, I'll turn things around. See, here's what the devil doesn't want you to know. The Bible said that the Lord inhabits the praises of his people. You don't understand that your deliverance is right underneath your nose. How many times has the devil thought he had you, but you had a yada in your mouth? You had a praise in your mouth, and your praise actually turned your situation around. I dare somebody right now who needs a turnaround. 1, 2, 3, bring them a yada. Come on, I got to finish. But jump on your feet right now and look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, your turnaround is in your praise. I really believe that. Tell him again, say, your turnaround is in your praise. God shows up in your praise. He doesn't show up in your complaints. He doesn't show up in your tears. But if you praise him, he said, I'll turn it around. I dare somebody, let's go. Turn around one time. Hallelujah. Come on, turn around again. Hallelujah. Come on, turn around one more time. Now open up your mouth and praise the Lord like that's your turnaround season. What if your shout would turn it around? What if your clap would turn it around? What if your surrender praise would turn it around? 1, 2, 3. Give him praise right now. I want my family and I want my church to be able to look at me as a father. I never want you to look at me, son, and say, man, I'm working, but Apostle's just standing there. I'm trying to lead this house, but our Father and the Lord in this ministry is just looking at us. I never want to do that. And the truth is, there are times when you see me up here praising God, and I've had seasons when I was bleeding into my boots and I was struggling and fighting, but I made up in my mind that I would not let my sorrow overcome my desire to give God glory. Come on now. When my mother was addicted and missing from the home that she was in, and we had no idea where she was, I stood here and praised the Lord. When my dad died with cancer and I left his bedside and walked into this building, I walked all over this room and y'all saw me. I praised the Lord. I didn't praise him because everything was perfect. I didn't worship him because I wasn't in a dilemma. But I remembered. My responsibility is to this house. And I will move beyond what I feel. And I will capture the reality that he's worthy. And I will know and be assured that as I worship him and praise him, he will come. Ha. And he will move for me. Hallelujah. 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 People say, you know, I've had people over the last few days even talk to me, you know, Apostle, you have praised the Lord and you have created an atmosphere of praise there at Calvary. No, I have not. I am not a creator. I'm a cultivator. I cultivate an atmosphere of praise. I praise the Lord knowing that if I will consistently praise the Lord, there will be people around me who won't be able to resist him, and they will praise him too. And that's why when you come in here, there's an atmosphere of praise, because we cultivate the atmosphere. That's why miracles take place in here. That's why cancer dries up in here. That's why children are delivered in here. How many of you are glad to be in an atmosphere of praise? Because we cultivate the atmosphere of presence when we cultivate the atmosphere of praise. Praise and worship. So I close with this. I was studying, and anybody that knows me, man, I love the word. I just love it. It means so much to me. I was preaching Thursday night, I think it was. And I was in Argentina, and I was preaching about the word. And I told those pastors, I said, I love the word. And I had my Bible and I grabbed it and I just hugged it. And I thought about the fact that everything I have is linked to the word. The word has provided for my whole life. The word has done everything for me. I would not even be here today were it not for the word of God. It's fed my family. It's saved my heart, restored my life. And I love it. I hide it in my heart. I love to talk about the word more than I love to talk about the NBA finals. If you sit with me, I'm going to preach to you. Is it right? I'm going to preach to you if you sit with me very long, because the word just is inside of me. I just want to talk about it all the time. I was on the streets and Argentina had two pastors with me. I was preaching to them. Hallelujah. They traveled with me. I about got them saved. Hallelujah. But watch this. I was in the Word and I was studying the book of Chronicles. Chronicles. That's where this text came from. Chronicles in the English is linked to the Greek word chronos. Chronos, precious, is a way to understand chronos would be, it's the tick-tock of time. Chronos is the tick-tock of time. It's the time span that we have. It's the time span that we live. And the thing about chronos is this, chronos, chronicle. Chronos is not eternal. The chronos that you have on planet Earth, the chronos that you have with your family, listen, Dad, the chronos that you have with that son or that daughter, it's not eternal. One day, they will have the audacity to move out of your house. One day, they will leave you. And you only have a certain amount of time. If Jesus tarries, you only have a chronos, a tick-tock of time, a certain amount of time. So the chronos represents the tick-tock of time. But the word chronicle means to record what you did in the tick-tock of time. A chronicle means I wrote down what happened in the chronos. A chronicle is a recording of the chronos. The chronicle tells, was I faithful or was I unfaithful? Did I succeed or did I fail? Did I pray or did I not pray? Did I believe or did I doubt? Did I rise or did I fall? Did I hit it or did I miss it? The chronicle is reflective of the chronos. And those two words are together. What you've got to understand is maybe your chronicle will never be written down. Maybe the chronos of your life will never be written in a book. The chronicle of your life as a father may never be written in a book. It may only be recorded in the hearts and lives of the families that you loved and the families that you led. Maybe it'll never be in a book, but it'll be in their hearts. My dad loved me. My dad was faithful to me. I could depend on my dad. My dad was the lead praiser. My dad was faithful. My dad assembled us. My dad loved us. And let me tell you, maybe they'll never write it down in a book, but you'll write it in the hearts of your children. And for generations upon generations upon generations, your story will be told. Even after they forget your name, even after they don't even know your name anymore, they will tell your story. Because you put something so great in them, they'll rehearse the goodness of God that you deposited in their lives. Your life, your chronos, Dad, will become your chronicle. And the most important business that you have is not the job that you report to every week. It's not the practice that you have as a lawyer, a doctor, or a CPA firm, or whatever your job is for a company or a business or a warehouse. All that is good. A teacher, an educator. All that is good. Real estate agent, a computer programmer, a builder, a plumber, an electrician, an airman, a worship leader, a preacher, a flaming evangelist, come on, with the glory and anointing on your life. Your greatest ministry is not on the stage. It's in your house. See, I don't want to be a hero on the stage and a zero at home. Come on, somebody. And I would say to you, fathers, listen to me. Be about the Father's business. And I want to celebrate every father that takes the business of being a father really deep down in your soul. You take it with all your heart. I want us right now to give God praise for every good father in the room. Come on. Come on. Come on. If there's a good father next to you, just look at that father and say, thank you, thank you, thank you. Now let's celebrate every good father in the room. Oh, come on, if your chronos is becoming your chronicle. So here it is. Did you get anything out of the word today? Is there an Asaph in the room, an assembler? How about a Jedithan appraiser? How about a Hammond? He-Man, is there some faithful people? How about men and women that are praisers and faithful? And so this service is about over. And we've got beef jerky in the back. Oh, beef jerky. You know what I love about beef jerky? you get to eat it for a long time. You are convincing your stomach, man, it's coming. It's coming. And your stomach is there saying, send it on down. Send it on down. Come on. And we've got all kind of classic cars. Vintage. You say, Apostle, you're getting older. I'm not older. I'm vintage. Come on, somebody. We've got all that in the back. All these beautiful things that are going to happen out there. But the most beautiful thing that can happen in here is that if somebody's struggling and the enemy is holding their lives, is that they can find freedom. So nobody leave for just a moment with every head and that bowed and every eye closed. If you're in this room and you would say, Apostle, there's some things in my life that ought not be there. And when you pray for somebody, pray for me, because I would like to give my heart to Jesus. If you'd like to surrender your life to Jesus today, when I count to three, raise your hands. Are you ready? One, two, three. Slip your hand right up. I want to surrender my heart to Jesus. Hands across the room are being raised. We're going to do something a little different today. After you pray this prayer, our altar team will be here. I always want to do something for the fathers today, but several people raised their hand. I want everybody in the room to take your hand and place it over your heart right now and pray this prayer after me. Pray, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, please forgive me for all my sins. Take my heart, wash me clean. Give me a new beginning and a fresh start. I've been trying it my way. It's not working out. But today, I let go of my way and I choose your way. I receive you now as my Savior and Lord. I'll never be the same again. Amen. Give the Lord a big clap and a shout. Amen. All right. I want every father in the house to slip up your hand right now. Every father. Every father. If you see a father next to you or he's close to you, just reach over and touch him right now. Hallelujah. Just reach over and touch that father right now. Come on, worship team. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, Father, I pronounce the favor of God over your life. I declare that God has supernaturally placed you where you are as a dad, as a granddad, as a foster dad, as an adoptive dad. I declare that God has supernaturally placed you where you are. And I declare that this year God is going to use you, that you're going to be faithful, that you're going to be like Asaph. You're going to assemble your family. You're going to be like Heman, and you're going to be faithful, and you're going to be a Jeduthun in your family. You're going to be the lead praiser. I pray for everything that troubles you right now, Dad. I pray for the heaviness that you feel for your family. For every dad that's here that's struggling with a financial issue, that needs a financial breakthrough, I bless you that in this next season, God will miraculously and supernaturally provide in your life. For any dad that's here that's struggling with sin or any kind of bondage, I break that off of you, and I declare that you will become that man of integrity and that man of faithfulness that God has called you to be. I come against everything that's come against your mind that's made you feel less than, not as good as other men. I break that off of you right now, and I declare, Father, you are fearfully and wonderfully made, and I declare that you are going to be about the Father's business. And here's what I speak over you, Dad. I speak over you, Dad, that you will be successful in this business. I declare that even if you failed as a father in the past, you are not a failure because you got another chance to be a father today. I bless you and I declare victory in your life and victory over your family. I thank you, God, that these men are about the Father's business and good things are coming. Thank you in Jesus' name. Now, if you love the Lord, give him a great praise. All right, I want our altar workers to come. If you have a need, we'll pray with you. Listen, I'm going to meet you in the back. God bless you. Happy Father's Day. If you're visiting with us, I'll give you a hug and meet you in the back. God bless you.
I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. And in darkest night, You are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. I have lived in the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the good.
Thanks for watching the message. I'm sure this spoke to you. Here's what I want you to do. Why don't you subscribe to this YouTube channel? That way, every time there's a new message, you'll get to hear it. Also, many of you have watched this. Some of you watch on a regular basis. Why not take time and sow? You can give at calvaryfl.com. You can give on your phones, and you can be a part of helping us take this message around the world, the message of hope, the message of Jesus Christ. Can't wait to see you back here real soon.